My brother keeps a human head in his closet. I hope I don't end up that way.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you. It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. It could look like anyone.
Help! Santa Claus only brings presents to them that's been good all year. To the ones that ain't done nothing naughty. All the other ones. All the naughty ones. He punishes you. See Santa Claus tonight, you better run, boy. You better run for your life.
Bring me one of those chickens.
You got money to pay for it?
You paid for it.
No, but we're the king's men. So, you got money?
Not a penny. I'll still take that chicken.
You don't seem to understand the situation.
I understand that if any more words come pouring out your mouth, I'm going to have to eat every chicken in this room.
You lived your life for the king. You're gonna die for some chickens.
Someone is.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of human children. Early Christians believed that Bagul actually lived in the images themselves and that they were gateways into his realm.
I am seriously positive these were not here. How would we have, just made a campsite in between three piles of rocks just by coincidence?
You don't think this is strange?
Hello. Welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, sir?
I am well.
Fantastic. Good to hear. And in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Hey, everyone. This is Abe.
Abe, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, trying to get into the spooky spirits. It's almost Halloween.
Yep. For folks who are curious, today is October 29th, 2020, so only 2 days to Halloween, so that's what Abe's referring to. I got to say, Abe, your new mic setup is awesome. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really made quite a difference.
Indeed.
Sure. Yes. Now,
Phil, throw to New York. Just to do it real quick.
Throw to New York.
Yeah. Just do the intro for somebody in New York.
Oh. And in the state of New York?
Hey, everybody. This is Mike. I'm not here because I don't use Apple things and they're insecure, so my shit got hacked.
Oh, jeez.
Or you could have even been more mean, Eric, and said, "Hi, I'm Mike." So, Mike, what's your last name? It's Darwin. Yeah, I'm Mike. Okay, unfortunately,
jeez.
If you know what I mean. So basically, unfortunately, co-host Mike won't be able to join us because he had a massive hacking of his entire password system. It started with Microsoft and went from there, and as a result, someone has his Skype account, his bank account, oh, everything. It's just
banking.
Horrible.
Oh,
so,
shit, I didn't know that one.
Well,
wow.
Actually, it wasn't bank. It was PayPal. So,
that can still, you know.
Yeah. He had the nix for transactions, so from PayPal. So, yeah, they were trying to get his money. So that's what Eric's referring to, is that Mike, if he was on Apple, he wouldn't have these problems. And what I was referring to is that maybe there's an imposter that will join us as Mike. So,
yes. Also, Mike likes to shit talk me when I'm not around, so it's my turn.
There you go. That's right. And he always complains about Apple, so you got to throw him the digs with Apple. That's true. Yeah, for a guy that doesn't like Apple, he has no problems with his iPhone. But anyway. So, unfortunately, he won't be joining us. And Chrissy, another co-host that usually joins us, she's busy with extracurricular things that she has to do that requires her not to join us, unfortunately, tonight. However, there's myself, Abe, and
Eric. My name's Eric. Yes. Nice to meet
you. Yes. Yes. Sorry. That was bad. But either way, who we are? We are Dark Discussions Network. So www.darkdiscussions.com, where you can find this podcast here, which is called the Dark Discussions Podcast. But also on Dark Discussions. .com are a number of other podcasts. So mostly all horror genre, fantasy, thrillers, video game, that type of stuff. There's articles there that pop up daily, audio reviews, video reviews, and things of that nature. So go and check out other podcasts. You can find this podcast on two different feeds. The first feed is Dark Discussions podcast feed, and the other one is the Dark Discussions Network of Podcasts. The two differences is the second includes all the podcasts from the network, while the first is just Dark Discussions podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Dark Discussion 1. You can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com, or go to the contact form on darkdiscussions.com to email us through the contact form. Also, Eric, what else can people find there?
Well, they can find a link to our Patreon account. Patreon allows you to financially support your online artists like us. Producing this show is not free. We have to pay for things like equipment and server hosting and websites and movie rentals and so on and so forth. So if you would like to help us offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can do it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on darkdiscussions.com. For every $5 a month that you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the submissions from our patrons, and on a quarterly basis, we draw one at random to do a show about. So if you'd like to do that, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on darkdiscussions.com. And any donations are appreciated, and we are asking you for money no matter what Phil says.
That's right. And we do have two upcoming episodes for the Patreon in November and December. The two films are Candyman and Rocky Horror Picture Show. And those will be episodes in November and December. We haven't decided which we'll do first, but look out for them. Also, we do have one user feedback. This is from someone named Dustin Watson.
I'm sorry. Did you say user?
Yeah, that wasn't good. I'm so used to I'm thinking about work stuff.
Sorry. I work too, Phil.
Yeah. Me and Eric are computer folk, and we have our users are the people that use our programs and stuff. So what I meant to say is we have some listener feedback.
There you go.
Yes, that's much better. And this is from a person named Dustin Watson out of the northwest of the United States. He is a fellow podcaster that does the WattZ Party podcast with our co-host Dave Zadano. And then he also hasn't anymore, but used to do a podcast called the Hara Karda podcast.
Oh, you're getting better. Getting better.
A little better. And then he usually guest hosts in a lot of podcasts as well. So this is what he has
he's
to say.
A slut.
I think so. I think that is true. Now, Mr. Dustin Watson says, listening to the interview with the filmmakers behind the honeymoon phase right now. I don't typically like interview shows, but this is a blast. When Eric Webster asked about the dynamics involving in shooting the sex scenes, I would have spit my coffee out had I been taking a sip at that very moment. You rascal. Great work so far, DDP. Very, very thorough conversation here. Loving it. So thank you, Mr. Watson.
Thanks, and, Mr. Watson.
Yeah, and the thing that makes that conversation even better with the filmmakers is it was the wife of the director.
Right. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting because I was like, holy smokes, that's very progressive. Yes. But people could go check out that movie. It's a pretty good film. You find it anywhere. And it just came out on disc. And we have a Dark Discussions podcast episode of it. And people can go check that out. That episode was released just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a fun time talking to those folks. All right. So I think we can probably get into our podcast tonight. So, Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we are going to discuss the 2020 digital release Open 24 Hours.
You ever work at a gas station before?
No, but I'm a really fast learner and a hard worker.
What we're looking for is someone to work the night shift from 10 to 6 in the morning. Not a lot of business except for some truckers and farmers. Those hours work for you?
Yeah, I can work whenever you want. It doesn't matter what time.
So you were convicted of a felony? Did you go to prison?
I was more of a correctional hospital, really.
For what?
My boyfriend did horrible things.
What kind of horrible things?
He murdered people.
You like to watch.
That's right. Open 24 Hours did the festival circuits for about 2 years. And then was released just about a month or a half ago, as Eric said, everywhere on VOD, at least in the United States. It is directed by someone named Padraig Reynolds and also written by him. And it stars Vanessa Grassi, Brendan Fletcher, Emily Tennant, among other folk.
Is it Grassi or is it Grass?
That's a good question. I think it's Grassi because there's a baseball player. Yeah, there's a baseball player with the same name, and he always went by Grassi. So okay. I'm assuming that's how
you have more of a reason for pronouncing it that way than I do for the other.
Sure, fair enough. Hey, if I can pronounce Holly Maciak's last name, I can do this one too. Anyway, so otherwise, I don't have too much information on the filmmakers or the people who were in front of the camera. So it's a not too well-known folk, but it's getting some buzz on VOD services being promoted fairly well. And as a rating on for folks who even care about those things, Rotten Tomatoes, it's getting 40% good reviews out of 10 reviews. And most of the reviews are coming from genre websites, like Birth, Movies, Death, mm-hmm. Bloody Disgusting, Rube Morgue Magazine, Sci-Fi Now, Flickering Myth, and so on and so forth. All right, so I guess we can get around and discuss how we heard about this film and what we thought about this film. So let's start with you, Eric.
I think I caught wind of this film on social media. People were posting about it on Facebook pages, and generally positive reaction to it. So yeah, that's how I initially heard about it. My vague non-spoilery thoughts are, I enjoyed the movie. It is nothing, tremendously ambitious or terribly original. However, it's pretty well executed. It's got some good acting, some good directing, and I think they pretty much made the most out of their budget on this. So kudos to them on that. It came really, really close to being a good movie, in my opinion. I think they stumbled a little bit with the ending. That doesn't bother me as much as it bothers, like, Mike's wife. But it still was kind of a shame because they had a good stopping point and they just kept on going for a couple more minutes and they shouldn't have. So those are my vague impressions of the movie.
All right, very well. What about you, Abe?
So I heard about this film when we decided to record it. It's got a very specific title, so it's kind of hard to miss unless you're actually looking for it. I watched it yesterday, and overall, my thoughts are mostly positive on the film. I thought that there was nothing actually bad about the film. I thought that it done most of what it was aiming for pretty well. I thought the performances were strong for the most part. There wasn't really any interesting kills, and I didn't find the antagonist all that interesting either. But I did find myself really interested in the psychological aspect of the film. There was one point I thought they were going in a certain direction, and I was kind of excited, and then it was kind of let down. That didn't kill the movie for me, but I was actually first thought they were going to try something a little more, like a little twist on something. I definitely agree with Eric on the ending. The ending is kind of a real stumble point for the movie. I still think people can find some enjoyment on it, but I also feel that there may, it might kind of leave a better taste in their mouth depending on how they feel about these kind of approaches. But overall, it was good viewing, and it's gonna be interesting to talk about it.
All right, very good. Yeah, for me, I actually found out about it because it was movie night with my wife, and she wanted to watch a film, and so we had to go through various films, and this one fell into horror, but also thriller categories. So we checked the trailer out. Even though I'm 100% with Eric, trailers suck. I have to watch trailers when my wife wants to choose a film because she won't watch a film blind. The trailer actually was pretty solid. So I was up to watching it then, but she decided that it didn't work for her, and so we skipped that film and watched something else. Yeah, so I that's how I heard about it. And then a couple of days later, it started, everybody was beginning to talk about it. Not everybody, but it started getting buzz through the various Facebook and social media groups that I visit. Some other films, it sat in a possible topic for about a month or so before we finally decided to do it. So I watched it a Sunday night, I'm pretty much where you guys are. It has a pretty good premise, though nothing original. It had some interesting aspects to the plot. It wasn't that original. I did feel there was some problems where they had some things that felt too coincidental, unless our lead was an unreliable narrator, which is a possibility, and I'll discuss that when we get into it. And I would hope that
we're going to discuss that a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the lead character, as we get into the film, at least for me, I began to actually root against her because we find out that she had done some very bad things.
Okay.
Possibly in the past. Right. I'm spoiled. So, I had felt mixed about that, and so all in all, it was a good film, but I think it's a huge missed opportunity for what could have been a really, really enjoyable film, because the first 15 to 20 minutes setup was pretty solid, and then when there was a twist about somebody that comes into the building that had spoken to our lead actress on the phone earlier, it looked like it was going to go really cool there too. And then, of course, that ended quickly, and then it went a different route. I felt those were missed opportunities. Decent watch. Probably a VOD service like Netflix or something rather than a rent or a purchase, in my opinion. But all in all, the acting was fine. The set pieces were fine. The cinematography was really good. A lot of night shooting, and night shooting is really tough. And they did a fantastic job. Really the only issue I had with the entire film was the screenplay and some of the things that they decided to do with it. So that's my thoughts. All right. So, Eric, do we have a wiki on this?
Wiki. After setting her serial killer boyfriend on fire, a paranoid, delusional woman gets a job at an all-night gas station. That's it.
That's it. That's actually, I would just watch that for that, because that sounds pretty cool. It's like,
right?
It doesn't even sound like a horror film. It just sounds like,
it's you know, it's gonna be not like wrong either.
It's gonna be like Clerks or something.
This is the R-rated Clerks.
Yeah. So, all right. So before we get into spoilers and all that, you know, we can talk general stuff. First thing I wanted to bring up was, I don't know, as a man, if I would want to work at a gas station in this day and age in the middle of the night. Never mind an attractive young woman, you know, because of the sketchiness of the people that may show up. Never mind, you just hear so many terrible stories about robberies at gas stations, and especially in city ones, but even a rural one like this, where it's in the middle of nowhere, is a spooky setting.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's they took some liberties, I think, in this movie. There may be some small hole in the wall gas station still set up like the one in this movie. But most of the ones I go in these days are set up with the bulletproof barrier that you can see behind.
A lot of them are modern. Yeah.
And the slot to slide the money under. So as far as that goes, I don't know if it was necessarily accurate to real life, but I hear what you're saying.
Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Where I live, because I live in the middle of I don't really live in the middle of nowhere, but I live.
Yes, you do.
Far enough. Yeah. I do have an 80,000 or 60,000 town about two towns away from me, but otherwise, I'm living in the 10,000 to 2,000 range of people per town all around.
Yeah. And I have a stadium up the road from me that holds five times that many people.
I know your stadium is probably bigger than even NFL stadiums, so that's a fair point. So we actually do have gas stations that don't have that protection stuff still.
Okay. I just don't where I hang out in areas like that, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, this kind of also reminded me of that kind of isolated location, like in Splinter, for example.
You know what, Abe? That's creepy that you said that, because I was going to recommend, if you want a good gas station doubleheader, this movie and Splinter would be a good go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then add Clerks, too. Add Clerks.
Yeah, if you want a comedy to mix it up.
Yeah. But continue, Abe. You were saying something.
Yeah, but, you know, I know a couple of gas stations that are a little smaller and more quiet, but they're still in more busier areas. And even the ones on the highway and stuff like that, because with my job sometimes has to go by them and stuff like that, have a lot more of the modern stuff, and they're also kind of much more they have like mixed with Dunkin's in there. They have a lot more cleaner food. But these kind of settings are as classic as the cabin in the woods and stuff like that, or the random big ass house in the middle of nowhere, stuff like that. The isolation is always a very important part, because it'd be like, well, if they're in the city, why don't you just go to the next door over?
Mm.
You know, so that's a very important thing, and I think the isolationism helps with the how lonely the character feels, how completely like. Almost like on a microscope she is, because that's one of the things about it. Her character is her struggles to feel more accepted back into society.
Right.
That was true. One of the points I was really hoping, because there was two points I was really hoping the film would be more exploring it, would explore. The psychological aspect of a certain character, I mean, because you know, her. I was hoping, well, because I can't really talk about it too much, but until we get to spoilers, but there are some things I was really hoping that they would examine, because I thought it would have been a little different.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so the film takes place in some rural section of Louisiana, and a lot of it actually, though, was filmed in what the hell was it filmed? It was like Serbia. It was actually filmed. Most 90% of the film was like filmed in Serbia.
This movie?
But it was supposed to take
really?
Place. Yeah. And I, actually the other 10% was filmed in Mississippi. But oh yeah, so you're right. It wasn't Louisiana. It was Mississippi, because I checked the license plates on Sunday night after I watched the film to try to identify the license plate, because you couldn't really check. And it was a Mississippi license plate, and sure enough, it was partly filmed in Mississippi, but most of it was filmed over in Serbia, because they got a big credit over there. Because a lot, even believe it or not, even indie films like this will go to like Bulgaria or Hungary or Romania or Serbia.
Oh,
or,
I believe it.
Yeah, because they're
that's why that's why the spaghetti westerns were such a big deal, is because the filmmakers could get make them cheap over there in Italy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, and so this is similar. So it's even cheaper in some cases than doing it in Canada. So because they give even more tax credits over there, and if you look at the cast, they're all Novacek and Ivanov and you know names like that. So Serbia definitely had a lot of folks get some good jobs over there because of this film, even if it is an indie film. Yeah, it was kind of cool. I think Abe had a good point about the isolation and what to do, because you can't just run to a next door villa or building or supermarket or house
did
or whatever.
Did you say villa?
Well, they are in Serbia, so might as well go with the terms, right? Though it's supposed to take place in Mississippi, so I should say a parish. A lot of towns down in that way are called parishes. There was one problem where there was one point where she does go next door to some place,
right?
And at that kind of felt out of place with the whole film. And then to return to the original location,
it
made
felt
no
like
sense
she didn't have to leave at all.
Yeah,
well, there's a whole bunch. Let's wait till spoilers, because there's a whole bunch of stuff towards the end of the movie to discuss.
Sure. But I always say, whenever I go anywhere, ever since the unfortunate incident in Colorado, the movie theater shooting, I unfortunately now, and then you know, we haven't had dozens since then, the one in Orlando and Las Vegas and on. I always look to see my surroundings, and I tell my family, I say, go that way. And it doesn't matter if it's behind a house or a far, just go that way and you don't come back, because they're never going to catch you if you're gone. You know, I mean, alone, they kind of, you know, met up again. But generally, if you leave the location where the villain is, you're pretty much going to be safe at least for that night.
Well, what you're talking about is a completely different situation.
That's true, but once she, well, yeah, I mean, like again,
she's targeted in the movie.
Yeah, right. The next day, it could be a problem. But I'm thinking something altogether, and maybe she wasn't targeted at all, and I'll explain when we get
all right
into
well
it.
We're starting to talk in circles, so why don't we throw up a spoiler flag so we can actually like say some stuff instead of just like being totally vague.
All right, yeah, that sounds good. All right, so we're gonna throw up a spoiler. We're gonna talk about anything and everything related to the film, because this podcast is not just a review podcast, it is a critique podcast as well, and so we'll talk about anything, everything. So folks have been warned, if they want to go see the film, they can rent it right now on VOD and pretty much anywhere.
And I think we all generally recommend the film, but Abe and I are slightly higher on it than Phil was. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I would say so. Yep.
All right.
So just to set it up. So basically, She gets interviewed at a gas station, this real pretty girl, and the guy sees on her resume that she was in jail, and he asks why, and she says that I lit my boyfriend on fire. And then she mentions who the boyfriend was, and it appears that everybody knows who the boyfriend was because he was a well-known serial killer, and it must have been a famous case. So he decides to hire her, and that's pretty much the setup of the film, right? I mean, there's a couple of things before that where we meet her parole officer, and we meet her best friend, and then we also have her meet flashbacks or visions that bother her, you know, guilt trips,
well,
or just
the things. This is one of the things I liked about this movie, because although it's not entirely original, they did tweak it a little bit in that a lot of movies, when you're having somebody that sees things, there's a question as to whether or not they're hallucinating.
Yeah.
And in this movie, they show you straight up, she is hallucinating. So the question becomes not is she hallucinating, but when is she hallucinating?
Exactly.
And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm beginning to think, because there's a major coincidence of someone that wants justice appears, and then someone else appears after on the exact same night. Felt, even though she had just gotten out of jail, supposedly, it still felt too coincidental. And I'm thinking the second person that shows up, the person that doesn't want justice, but the person that just wants to see her, I'm thinking isn't even there. And I'm thinking that she, meaning our lead actress, the character, is the murderer.
No.
I don't believe the guy was there at all.
It's not possible.
All right, well, we'll discuss then as we get into it.
Yeah, so one of the things that separates our protagonists from the usual survivors of an antagonist, a serial killer in this case, is that she was kind of in on it in a way, not completely willing, as she claims, but she was actually known as the Watcher. Basically, the killer, her boyfriend, James, would murder young women and stuff like that and have her watch. And so she actually tried to take them both out by setting the house on fire, and he was badly burned and thrown away in prison, and so was she. But because her crimes were considered lesser, she was released. But as we mentioned, parole officer, she's being under, you know, observation to make sure she stays on good behavior. So her situation is a little different because not only is she trying to deal with the scars of her own dealings with James, she is also dealing with the very fact that, you know, everybody's, you know, a lot of people hate her, and she's just as afraid of that as her boyfriend and stuff, because now she's got to struggle with the idea of trying to be accepted back into the world. Even though that is possible that it never happened. And so one thing I was really hoping for was when basically, as Phil mentions, there were several people who show up in the gas station. One of them happens to be the mother of one of the victims, who beforehand was actually calling and seemingly harassing her on the phone. And she actually eventually just show up to the store itself, and this leads to a confrontation. At first, I thought it was going to be she was actually going to be the antagonist of the film, and it would be this woman who was the criminal, and then this eventual mother, you know. And I was like, okay, this is going to be pretty different. You kind of see where both characters are coming from, but you don't completely see them as all completely in the right at all. And I thought that was going to be something a little different, but then they completely toss that out quickly because it ends with the eventual mother getting blown away by the parole officer. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of go into your standard psychotic boyfriends out together.
Right.
And I think that was a huge mistake. I loved the idea that the caller that was harassing her was actually the mother of one of the victims that she watched die and didn't help, and didn't report her boyfriend as a murderer either. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome because this is completely surprising. The other stuff we saw earlier were just in her head about seeing her ex-boyfriend. And the real antagonist is going to be this vengeful mother, similar to like Mrs. Voorhees or something. And that was going to be awesome. And I was actually rooting for the mother to take that bitch out because she participated in the murders of dozens of girls. But the mother, I felt was a terrible because, see, what you do, if you got to do it like the mob. You got to go in there and you swing the hammer and you kill her and you don't even say a word. That's what the mob do. They don't do the James Bond nonsense, which is,
yeah, but it's not as satisfying if she doesn't know why she's being killed.
Yeah.
She's doing this for revenge, and in order to get revenge, she has to know who's doing it and why.
It's personal.
I guess
with the mob and stuff like that, it's mostly business.
It's all business. Yeah,
in this case, this is very personal, and this woman is clearly unhinged by her trauma. So she wants this woman to know why she has to die because of the pain she caused her daughter and herself.
So,
right. Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, I agree with you that was awesome. I also liked how they set it up at the beginning of the movie. She gets those phone calls at home and then pulls the cord out of the wall and the phone keeps ringing. So clearly she's hallucinating that. Was she hallucinating the phone calls too? And we're still not sure when she's getting the phone calls at the gas station. And I really like that transition between when her boyfriend is standing in front of her and then she says, "You're not real." And she closes her eyes and opens it. And the woman is standing there.
Yeah.
Also wearing a rain slicker. I was like, oh, she's been standing there the whole time and she hallucinated the boyfriend. I thought that was really cool. So I agree with you in that regard. It doesn't sound like I was as dissatisfied with the turn it took. But I do agree that it would have been better had they just stuck with that.
I thought that was because when Debbie, her best friend, and suddenly was it Bobby? Was it get suddenly her
female friend?
Yeah, her Debbie.
And then the coworker was his name Bobby.
Yeah, where suddenly attacked. I thought it was the woman doing it to get revenge.
Right.
Well,
and that's what they set up very well, is that our main character, Mary, is definitely hallucinating. And there's also definitely something actually going on, because we see, without Mary's point of view, Debbie getting attacked in the parking lot. And that's not Mary hallucinating because she's not even in that shot when we see it. That's definitely actually going on. So I thought they set that up pretty well.
I want to say the reason why I don't think the boyfriend existed is because after the ending, when she doesn't call the cops for whatever unknown reason, she wakes up, gets up, and walks out the door. The boyfriend's body's not there.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from on that.
First place.
But too much goes on for him to not have been there. Right? So, first of all, who was running around with a sledgehammer, right? How did she end up tied to a chair? Okay. How did the cop get killed? All these things happen that if it was... Let's put it this way. If it was her, they did a really shitty job of making this movie.
Yeah.
Let me finish up here.
Sorry.
And I was just going to say, if it was her, they did a crappy job of making this movie. And I, from everything else in this movie, I don't think these people would make that crappy of a movie. Because if they were going to say it was actually her, they would have given us some flashback format to see what actually happened. Rather than being so open-ended with it.
Yeah.
If his body wasn't there at the end, then maybe the very last scene of the film, when she looks in the mirror and we see him in the mirror, maybe he escaped and now he's back again.
Right. I think that's more likely than it had been her the whole time, simply because of the physical logistics of everything that happened in the movie.
Well, there's also the fact that they don't really hint at her hallucinating, but they don't hint at any sort of violent impulses or anything like that. So her suddenly just slaughtering an entire gas station of people just felt so unlikely.
Well, if she has some sort of delusional mental illness and she is, well, you know, saw dozens of young women her age get murdered and tortured, you never know what can you know,
yeah,
spark
but they,
someone
they,
for
it. But it would have been such a crappy setup because they didn't really provide any sort of hints that she might be capable of it.
Well, and Phil, to be clear, I think what you're talking about is part of how they botched the ending of the movie. Because for me, the right place to end that movie is right after he says, I love you. Camera zoom out, credits. That's where you end the movie. And I don't understand why they kept on going with him not being there the next morning. And then she's in another place with another job and whatever the hell. I think they just missed their opportunity to stop and write. Well, and here's the other thing that bugged me. She shouldn't have even had to call 911. Because, I'm sorry, if you're a police dispatch,
yeah, the cop
and, one,
there,
of your, and
right.
one of your cops calls in and says, this is Officer So-and-so, blam! they're probably going to send a car out to see what the fuck is going on.
Right, so there's no way that she could have fell asleep, woke up in the morning, and there wouldn't have been a cop there to
exactly,
check on
why the cop... Yeah, because the cop, you know, hadn't checked in. He was sent out to a location.
Right.
And they could have sent backup because they were like thinking, oh, shit, something happened to that officer.
Right.
We should probably check it out.
Yeah, that's a huge
flaw. So that was
yeah,
another mistake that was kind of bugging me. But don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the movie. I liked the movie, but there were some flaws.
Sure. So, see, and that's the problem I had with the film was – after she explains the story to Bobby, at that moment I was like, okay, I don't like this character anymore. And so
black and white,
last,
Phil.
Like, what's that?
Black and white, Phil.
yeah, absolutely.
All
well,
good
this
or all
is
bad.
More than black and white. Well, anybody that
no shades of gray anywhere.
Watches, yeah, and in this case, I'm gonna say that there's no gray because we're talking about someone that probably should still be in jail. For much longer than the few years that she probably was in jail, because she's still a young girl. And what all the girls that she saw murdered and watched and didn't do anything and then never called the cops. And then, and again, I'm not going to talk about, I mean, some people can talk about, you know, she was in an abusive situation. She had
you
to worry about her life. And all.
Absolutely. That's the whole
yeah,
thing.
And that's all possible. That's all possible. It's just difficult to still like the character, even if she, you could argue she's a victim too.
Okay. I didn't have that issue.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I unfortunately did. I had that is a big issue, but, and that's why I was hoping the mother would take her out.
I don't think it's unreasonable that a person in her position would act that way.
Yeah. But I understand, but it just made it sound like that's the way she explained the story and how infamous she was made it sound like she was there for a long time seeing a lot of people get killed.
It was 35 and women or like, I guess.
She didn't watch all 35.
No.
It was without her knowledge for quite some time.
Yeah, I think he actually started end up watching him when she discovered the bodies in the basement.
When she figured out it was him, then he made her start watching.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And we don't know how many of those 35 were before or after,
right,
but
right.
It was implied that it was probably a good percentage. Probably, I would say at least half.
I don't know about half, but I'd say she watched at least a dozen women die.
Yeah. That sounds, a third's good. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's
I understand where you're coming from. I didn't have an issue with it.
Sure. Well, no, I didn't really have an issue with it either. It just made me now want to root for her to get killed, to not be a survivor girl, you know? I was like, die. So
you
got to
admit, the antlers were fucking awesome.
It was a good way to take out the villain. That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty solid. Second movie this year, we saw antlers used to kill something. That After Midnight film or whatever it was called.
Oh yeah,
the one. Yeah, that one. That he used the antlers to kill the monster. But yeah, I do wish though. I really do wish they stuck with the vengeful mother as the antagonist. That would have been awesome. And then all the stuff we saw with the boyfriend before that was just a red herring. Her thinking it was the boyfriend, and then the scenes when she wasn't there, when her friends were getting killed, right. It was actually the because it was a woman person in a parka, you know, rain jacket.
No, and I totally agree with you on that point.
Yeah. So that would have been cool.
But I really enjoyed the hallucinations too.
Oh, like, that's really
goes,
cool.
When she goes outside and he starts walking across the street on fire, it was like, oh, fuck.
That was awesome. I also love the moment where she goes to the bathroom, she finds the hair and she tries to pull it out, and suddenly...
Oh, it was her friend, and it was friend's hair and her friend's ID license.
Yeah, and then it starts to bleed out, and suddenly one of the victims is... screaming at her.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly it seems like the dreams, the hallucination's over. Suddenly these rotten arms come out of the wall and grab her. It was really, really cool.
Right.
I thought that those were some of the strongest points with the hallucinations, because they really played around with what was going on. You know, it's like, it's screwing up your head just as much as it was with the main character.
Well, and I enjoyed
I did have a problem.
This movie in general messed with your head, because there was also that trucker that came in, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was being all creepy, and then he comes back and gets put in a hero position, and sadly, that didn't work out for him. but I thought it was kind of interesting that they put that character that they intentionally made out to be a creep back in a position to do good. Because that's not something you usually see in a movie.
Honestly, that whole situation reminded me of The Strangers. Where somebody comes in, they start looking around, and suddenly investigating and get blown away by the heroes.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the brother. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Spoiler alert, but that movie is like 25 years old now, or whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm old.
What's that again?
I just can't believe how old.
Yeah, I don't know how old it is. It's.
I'm really old.
It's tough. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Don't be so hard on yourself, guys. Come on, you have plenty of energy.
It's not 20 years old. You're a liar. It's 12 years old.
Damn, it seems like it's 20 years old. it seems like it was yesterday, actually. And yet it was 12 years ago. I screwed up. Sorry. It's not as old as I thought. The bathroom and like a locker room here, that kind of was bizarre.
The geography of the gas station was a little weird to me. I didn't completely understand it.
It was weird. It felt like some places were in place just for convenience for certain locations.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah, they found spooky locations. They said, "Hey, let's use this and just say it's the gas station's bathroom." And the gas station had a back room that looked like a locker room. I don't know, because it definitely wasn't like a car garage, you know, like for a gas station. It was definitely
no. It was pretty big.
But it wasn't a car repair shop, you know.
Right. I want to say this because I'm not sure. I know Phil, I'm pretty sure Phil saw this post of mine. I had a iMac fail on me recently and had to make sure nobody could get the data off the hard drive in it. So last weekend I destroyed it. And my buddy Dan wanted to take one of his maces from the gym and just smash the living hell out of it. And I said to him, well, I want to use a hammer so I can be more precise. And he goes, listen to what you just said. Nobody's ever said that before. You want to use a hammer so you can be more precise. Well, I would say that our killer in this movie is also using a hammer so he can be more precise. He was pretty good shot with that claw into that hammer.
Yeah.
So, you can be precise with a hammer. It's possible. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I didn't have any issues with it. But
although, it's when he pulled out the sledgehammer, I was like, oh, no. That's going to smart.
Yeah, that was a pretty vicious weapon, that's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, definitely vicious weapon. Yeah, what about guns, right? Once the cop and the got taken out.
Remember when you were talking about how she went off site for a second and then ran back? I was thinking to myself as she was running back towards the gas station, get the cop's fucking gun!
Her parole officer had one too.
He had one, right? Because he used to kill vengeful mother.
And I was also confused as to why. I mean, I understand that Bobby was tied up initially and told her to break in the locker to get the shotgun, but after he's freed, why is he just like standing behind her going, point the shotgun at the door? Why doesn't he take the gun? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I thought that exactly, because it wasn't like he was hurt. Actually, I don't know why she just didn't cut him and why he said he didn't just say, you know, cut me out of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
She had to wait, get the gun, check the gun, make sure there was bullets there, find the bullets, but and then she finally let him out. And then she was the one that was using the gun and not Bobby.
Right. And makes no sense because he had to tell her step by step how to load the gun. Clearly she doesn't know how to use it. So why the hell doesn't he just grab it himself?
He does that later too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was bizarre. I felt, yeah.
And the only reason for it is so that she can be the one that pulls the trigger and accidentally kills the trucker.
Right. That's all I can think of. Exactly. Because, yeah, someone that's experienced isn't going to be making that mistake, probably. I was thinking, even though this is just a huge nitpick because no one else is probably going to think about this, but the gas station's like that, you know, where I live, you know, you get your pack of gum, you get your Coca-Cola, you get your newspaper, and you get your beer mace, your beer spray. Why didn't she just grab beer spray? These places must have beer.
I'm sorry. Right? Are you saying bear spray?
Yeah. It's basically mace, but they call it bear spray, so you don't need to get a permit for it. And
they don't sell that at my gas station.
Yeah, they do where I live. They do it all because we have bears walking people's
backyards. They sell windshield scrapers at my gas station, not bear spray.
Well, because this is a rural gas station. That's why I was thinking it was bear spray. You know?
Do they have bears in Louisiana?
I don't know if they do. They have alligators, so they must have an alligator sprays.
I know. I'm pretty sure they don't make that, Phil.
Alligator spray.
But yeah, we
alligator be gone.
Hey, I got my bear spray and I got my bear horn just in case, you know.
What, a bear horn? There's a bear horn? How is that any different from an air horn?
Well, you know.
There is no difference, but they call
it. Okay. Thank you for admitting that.
Yes. So we have those too. But so that was just a little nitpick, not a big deal. Let's see what else.
I am confident they don't sell bear spray in Louisiana gas stations. That's my stand. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, maybe like camping places, but definitely not gas stations.
Fair enough. Well, they probably have like, you know, the worms, right, for fishing, you know. So I would think they would have the bear spray for campers.
Well, maybe they have worms spray too.
I haven't researched this, but I'm fairly confident there aren't bears in Louisiana.
Yeah, you may be right. You may be right. So if this was took place.
We've gotten off on a
anyway, yeah. Anyway, right, right. We got some humor out of it. Put it that way. What else do we want to discuss? So what did you think of Bobby? He seemed like a nice guy, right? Do you think?
Yeah, Bobby was cool. He delivered the funniest line in the movie, which is when he's training her in at first. He says, "Make sure you always check ID." I got in trouble once for selling cigarettes to a 12-year-old. She goes, "You sold cigarettes to a 12-year-old?" And he pauses for a second and goes, "She had boobs."
Yes.
Okay. Right, right. And then her expression was like, "Yeah, all right, that's fair." that kind of tricks me or something like that.
That got a laugh out of me.
That was a good laugh, yeah.
That was a good line. Yeah. That was funny. Yeah.
Oh, I stand corrected. I'll admit it. I just looked it up. There is a small section of Louisiana where there are black bears.
Oh my!
There you go. I'm right. You got gators and bears.
Oh, I'll let you have your bear spray theory, but you're still a nut.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's something that most people wouldn't even think of. But yeah, what would you do? Would you think these gas stations would have any protection behind the counter for clerks? A baseball bat, maybe?
Yeah, you think.
Good question.
But I don't know. I've never run a gas station.
Yeah.
I also don't know how much trouble gas stations that remote have.
Yeah, that's true. Probably not that bad, but you never know. Yeah.
I mean, a gas station, they're looking for a gas station that's pulling in good money so they can take it. And I'm pretty sure that's a pretty low volume gas station.
Yeah, it's pretty low. I was shocked that it was 24 hours.
Right?
Can't make much money at night.
Exactly. Yeah. Woohoo! We made enough to pay the person who was working.
Yay!
Money on the electricity.
That's right. Exactly. Maybe pay some of the interest on the principal or something for the day. But let's see. So I think I was kind of surprised when I found out that everybody knew who the serial killer was. Because even though she said that at the beginning, it didn't occur to me that it would be a notorious name. But I guess serial killers are kind of notorious, so I should have said, "Oh yeah, they would all know who the killer is."
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, and I enjoy. Yeah. I'm bummed in the IMDb credit they're just listing him as James. He had James Earl Collins. He had a good solid three name serial killer name.
Yeah,
have you ever noticed how serial killers in real life always have three names? They always include the middle name.
You're right.
It was James something.
John Wayne.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that is a good serial killer name.
The only one I can think of off the top of my head that doesn't have three names is Jeffrey Dahmer.
Right, right. Yeah, I was thinking that one too. He popped up almost immediately in my head too. But mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So, basically what it is she has these visions of the girls that were murdered by him, specifically this one girl, which actually was the one that the mother was, she was the mother. It was pretty horrifying. The scene was like,
it's brutal.
But you know it actually happened because, mm-hmm. It's basically, even though it's weird how they do it, actually it's pretty cool how they do it, which is it's a flashback scene that's in the present, if that makes any sense, because it's in the bathroom that she has in her rented apartment,
right?
But the two people that are there that she's watching, which is her boyfriend and the victim, are from the past, just happen to be placed in a live location that she's in at that very moment.
So it's and a flashback slash hallucination.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was kind of cool how they did it, put it together.
Yeah,
I
really enjoyed the way they did all the hallucinations in this movie.
Yeah, I think that was where they were the most creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of folks, and I know like sometimes Chrissy, sometimes Mike, our other co-host, especially Mike, has problems with these type of films with flashbacks and dream sequences and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because he kind of feels that they're like cheats in a sense. And sometimes he's right and sometimes he's fair.
But other times he's wrong and horrible.
Yeah, that's fair. And I would say this here, he would be wrong. However, I could see him or anybody still not liking the film because they get annoyed that you're to the point where now you don't know what is real and what isn't.
Well, and I understand why that annoys some people, but I like the level to which some people get annoyed really blows my mind. I mean, I kind of get it, but at the same time, that's the whole storytelling mechanism that they're using in this movie. And this movie is more honest about it than a lot of them are. And I appreciated that about it because they're not making you guess as to whether this person is having hallucinations, and they're not making you guess as to whether this person is mentally ill. She's definitely mentally ill, and she's definitely hallucinating.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that they were upfront about that.
There was a purpose in both character and story to the reason to this, you know, being used. It wasn't just for show. It wasn't just be fancy. It actually had, you know, add substance to this actually the whole story.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that if you are mentally ill and taking medication, I'm pretty sure that's not how medication is administered. You don't randomly pop pills when you have a hallucination. I'm pretty sure it's like a certain number of pills a day, but what do I know?
Yeah. You know, Eric, it's similar to – it's more like the brother of Laura Linney's character in Ozark, where he's supposed to take it every day at a certain time, and technically it will be okay for him, but once he gets off it
– Yeah, it's not
it's not like, oh, I'm having an attack.
It's not like Tums.
Yeah, it's not like – yeah, right. Or the, you know, people who have, like, heart problems, and when they have a spasm, they're supposed to take a certain pill, you know, this is a little different. And
that's
a she was probably abusing the medicine.
Definitely there.
Sure. I will say this, too. Right at the beginning of the film, we're notified that she's mentally insane because she has a conversation with her friend. Her best friend, and her best friend says, oh, don't tell your parole officer that you're having these hallucinations again, because you know what, that's going to happen. And you know, you're going to be locked up for pretty much forever.
I thought the parole officer was a really interesting character because he's being kind of a hard ass to her, but at the same time, he seems generally interested in helping her.
I agree. Yeah, because he was the guy that was going to take no shit. He didn't really like her because of her crimes. However, he didn't hate her either. He was really there to do his job. He was really there to do his job, which is to make sure the person that he's responsible for stays on the straight and narrow, whether or not he really likes her. And his goal, whether it's just because it's his job and that makes him do a good job, is for her to do good. So I think, yeah, he was really hoping that she would be one of the quote unquote winners,
mm-hmm.
then rather than the losers, I think that was kind of interesting to do it that way, because yeah, they're usually either complete assholes or they're complete suck ups, like, we want you to do good and all that. So I think it worked really well. Or they're just complete incompetence. We've seen so many movies where they're, you know, they just go, have you done this? Do you get a job? Do you know, and then they go, okay, next, and they bring in the next, you know, parole
person. Yeah, most parole officers are depicted as either being vindictive or completely uninterested. And this was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, and he was actually, you know, yeah. I kind of liked the moment after he had took down Benjamin's mother, and she's sobbing, and she's asking, will anyone ever forgive me? And he just says plainly, no. And
right.
It was brutally honest.
That was awesome.
But it was a very powerful moment. And I thought the themes of her trying to get forgiveness, being accepted, dealing with her own human scars, and people hating her was honestly, at first I thought that was going to be the actual focal point. And honestly, the struggle between her and the eventual mother was expanded a little more, and that was the place they closed the film. I think I would have liked it a lot.
Yeah. No, and that was a great scene. Yeah, because, I mean, he was not going to let her forget the crimes that she did. And so he was being honest, brutally honest, probably for two reasons. One, because that's the truth. All the victims' families are never going to forgive her. But also,
The only crime she actually committed was setting the fire.
Not true. I think she went in jail also for being a participant.
She didn't participate.
Of the murders. No, by watching, that was enough, and not reporting them. Those are all crimes. I think the reason she didn't have a big sentence was because she turned evidence on the serial killer boyfriend, not because of what she actually did. That's what I'm guessing, because if she didn't turn evidence on him, then I think she would have got, you know, 20 years to life.
Okay, because, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, and that's how that's how a lot of folks get out of that's like that Canadian couple that murdered all those kids. The wife betrayed the husband.
Yeah,
and
she
got off in a yeah, that's a disgrace. So yeah, you know the case I'm talking about. So
I do. There's a movie about it starring Laura Prepon and what's his name? Misha Collins. Misha Collins plays that dude. It's kind of weird after you've seen Supernatural.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, yeah. So, but I think the reason they would never forgive her and the reason they would consider her a criminal is pretty much what the mother said, which is you were there, you didn't stop him, you let it happen, you never reported it, on and on. And so I think that's how a lot of the people are going to think of her. Again, there's going to be some people who are just, quote unquote Christians who will forgive no matter what, even though they do want them to be in jail. But there's going to be a lot of people who won't mm-hmm. want to forgive, and a lot of people who would have preferred that she got both of them got the death penalty.
She'd be in trouble for not reporting him to the police. But expecting her to stop him, I don't think is reasonable.
Right.
If you know about the behavior of people who have been traumatized, it makes sense. So she may have been wrong, but I don't think it's an unrealistic portrayal. And I don't think she actually, I mean, she starts crying when she's telling Bobby about the story. She did not enjoy that experience.
Yeah. The way James views her is his own projection of what he wants her to be. You know, she likes to watch, that she loves him, all these things. He's trying to mold her into what, you know, something he wants her to be. Pretty much break her down to be this woman who just it takes satisfaction in these killings as he does.
Well, that's what we're told in so many words. But what happens, because again, we don't know anything about the case. What happens if she was just jealous that he had all these girls that he was, murdering, or who knows? I don't know whatever. And then that's the reason she lit the house on fire, because they never explained why she lit the house on fire.
I don't see why there's any reason for
her ass off.
I don't understand why there's any reason for us to disbelieve what we're told in the course of the movie.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
That's just, I mean, anything is possible. Maybe she was dismembering babies in the basement. Who knows? But I think we should believe what they told us in the movie.
Yeah. And again, all that doesn't really factor into the main plot, which the main plot is really a simple cat and mouse slasher type film, body count film, and then a few red herrings as well, which is trying to trick us with the mental illness, so what's real and what's not, and then the total coincidence that assuming the boyfriend was really there, because I threw out the one option that it may not be true, but I'll go with you guys and say he was there. That the boyfriend escapes from jail and the vengeful mother shows up both on the same night. You know, that was a bit coincidental.
I agree, but I don't think it could not have happened that way. For one, because the parole officer tells her that it happened and he's not a hallucination.
Right. Now let me ask you this. Maybe if they didn't have the vengeful mother show up, or if the vengeful mother was the new girlfriend of James.
See, now for a second, I thought they were going there, and I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense if he's the guy that killed her daughter. So I was glad they didn't go there, because that would have probably taken me out of the movie. If I'm like, yeah, the woman who had her daughter killed by this guy is now hooking up with him. I'm like, oh, that doesn't work for me. So I did. I'm glad it didn't go there. But I do agree that the two of them showing up at that gas station the same night is awfully coincidental.
Yeah. Well, because even before she announces who she is, I thought, all right, this weirdo's calling, this woman's calling, and then suddenly this woman shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was one of those weirdos that send letters to people that are in jail and then fall in love with them.
That possibility also occurred to me, yeah. That would have been better than the girlfriend, so.
Yeah, right. But again, since they went the route they did, I feel they probably should have not had the woman in the film at all then, even though that personally was the best part of the film, because it made it too coincidental that they both were there at the same night.
I hear what you're saying. At the same time, it would have taken away, in my opinion, one of the best moments of the movie, which is that moment when he's standing there in front of the register and she closes her eyes and opens her eyes.
Yeah, that was cool.
Standing there.
It was a cool moment.
Well, actually, though, I thought maybe she was hallucinating.
That's why it's a cool moment.
Right. Well, I think it was a cool moment was because it's replaced by the mother, and then the mother starts going nuts, and we start thinking she's going to be the antagonist for the next 30 minutes of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets killed off immediately, and then that we're now saying, okay, if she's killed off now and we still have 30 minutes into the film, then is the boyfriend really there or not? And even in that scene, well, you definitely know now that the boyfriend is the villain because you still have 30 minutes of the film. So the question was, when she was talking to him earlier, and then she shuts her eyes and opens them up and is replaced with the mother, was he really there already?
I think he was.
Do you think he was?
He hit her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, yeah. So if she closed her eyes, he just walked away then.
Right.
Went back outside. Gotcha. Okay.
And there's again a little nitpick there, which is that when she walked into the building, there probably would have been like the door sounder or whatever. But again, nitpick.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of those gas stations, they either have a door sounder or they just have bells. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or they even just have bells hanging from
right,
it or something.
Right.
But something to let people know that someone's coming in. Yeah, that's a fair point. That was a good imitation of the door sound.
Thank you.
Yeah, very well. Very good. Now, what did you think of that young couple that came in?
I didn't think much about him.
Yeah, nor did I, honestly. You were just kind of there.
I forgot about him until you mentioned
it. I did find it funny that she still sold the drink to the kid, even though he obviously had a fake ID.
Right. Also, this gas station has the lowest prices ever. Like, her friend at the beginning of the movie buys a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes for, like, $9. I'm like, what?
I know.
Yeah, the cigarettes are like, what, $10? And the
I don't even know
like
anymore.
Or $9.
Yeah. I remember. I thought
if it's a micro brew, it's like. Oh, go on.
I quit smoking in 2009, and at that time I was outraged when cigarettes went to $5 a pack, and I'm sure they're more expensive now.
Yeah, I think they are because every so often when I'm paying my gas or going in to get a Red Bull or a coffee in the morning under these gas stations, someone always is ordering a pack of cigarettes, and I swear I hear, you know, if they pick like the big brands like Marlboro, they're saying like $12 or something. It's like, Christ.
Oh, I'm so glad I gave up that shit.
In the 70s, you could buy a pack of cigarettes for like the same price as a candy bar.
When I was 13 years old, I started buying cigarettes out of vending machines for $1.50 a pack.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In the 70s, or early 80s. Yeah, they don't even have vending machines for cigarettes anymore, I don't think. I think they became illegal in most states.
I don't know if they're illegal. They're certainly not around anymore.
Yeah. They may be able to have them in an all adult business, but
the one I used to use was in the entryway of a local bar. There was like a little foyer where you open the outside door, you went in, cigarette machine was right there, then you open the other door and actually went into the bar, and I would just kind of slip in there with my quarters and get a pack of cigarettes real quick, and nobody ever stopped me. Anyway, we've gone way off topic.
Nice. Sorry. No worries. No worries. Unless that stuff is cheap down in Louisiana or something. The reason I brought that couple up was because I was confused too. Was it just there to show, add something into the film? There was even a scene where the boyfriend of the young couple was concerned with our lead character, but then eventually both he and his girlfriend kind of freak out, like, this girl is crazy, we got to get out of here. I don't know. So I was just curious if anybody noticed anything different than I did, which was pretty much what you guys
not
noticed.
Really.
It seems like not really. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't really see anything either. Now, what did you guys think of that? I think there was a major problem when she runs it next door to whatever the farm thing was. The transition, you could tell that they were filmed in completely different locations. And when I say completely different locations, I mean the farm wasn't next door, because they cut from her running into the street and then cut to her in this farm, and then you can't even see the gas station in the distance anymore. I don't know. It was just, I could just tell that it was just a different location that I didn't think it fit.
I understand what you're saying. It didn't bother me as much as it did you. But I agree. It was a little weird. But at the same time, what else are they going to do at that point? I mean, just run around circles in the gas station. So I understand their need to physically move. But I get where you're coming from.
I was still surprised she didn't get in a car and try to find someone's keys. Didn't she? There was like at least three cars that were abandoned.
Well, Debbie's car got taken away. I don't know where Bobby's ride was.
No, it was. I think it broke.
Oh yeah,
it broke down.
It broke down.
Right. Yeah, that's
the
right.
Nowhere.
But the cop car was there too.
The cop car was there. Yeah. So that was like my biggest issue up until the ending was that cop car, that the cop sitting there, the cop's in the driver's seat with a gun on his holster and the keys in the ignition, and she runs right by all of it. I'm just like, ah!
Right, exactly. That was kind of odd. Also, I felt another issue was when she finds her friend's car out in the parking lot, and there's blood painted on the windshield. Her reaction in the music cue wasn't dramatic enough. Because here's your friend's car. There's blood on the car. I would think she would have freaked and immediately called the cops.
You got to remember, Phil, she's been hallucinating for the whole movie. And she's constantly trying to talk herself down.
What is real, what isn't. Yeah.
So she's probably backing away from it thinking, is that real or is it not real?
Yeah, that's true. Because she does say there's something wrong here. She says it like that. Like that type of actual quote. Meaning, oh my God, something happened to my friend. She just says, there's something wrong here. Which means, that's fair. So she's trying to figure out, am I imagining the car with the blood on it? Or is it actually real?
Right. Gotcha.
All right, that's fair. Let's see. What else? Any other scenes or specifics that you guys wanted to bring up that we may have missed?
I will just say that I really liked the first attack on Debbie.
The claw hammer in the face.
Comes in with that hammer and it just sticks in her face and he leaves it hanging out of her face. I was like, oh.
He uses it to drag her along. Oh, God.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I liked her. She was pretty cool. She was very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
She was my favorite character. But this is a body count film, and it is also a slasher film. So you figure most of the characters besides the lead actress was going to be fodder.
I don't want to call this a slasher film, Phil, because he was using a hammer and being very precise.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he never used knives, really. He's hammers and mallets. Hammers and mallets.
Dude, so, that hammer to that guy's head was brutal. Oh, my God.
That was savage.
That was brutal.
I was so mad at that dude when he killed Debbie, too. That fucker. He's like, tell me you love me and I won't kill her. I love you. And he kills her. It's like, you son of a bitch.
Kills her anyway.
I mean, not like you should trust that guy to do what he says he's going to do, but still, what an asshole.
That is true. What's a sociopath going to do? I will say this. The film has the typical strengths and weaknesses for this type of film. The strengths being the kills were pretty impressive. And whatnot. And the weaknesses is you pretty much knew everybody was going to die except for the lead girl.
Oh, right.
So those were, it has the standard beats of these type of films. But I didn't think it was going to because of a couple of things. One, because who she was, she wasn't just, a girl that worked at the convenience store. She was a participant or the girlfriend of a former serial killer. And then, of course, they had the twist where they had the mother come in. And then that obviously was a red herring. So, but all in all, if you like the standard stuff of these type of films, it has those things, which is
right.
Fair. Anything else?
Only other thing I want to mention is that I thought that serial killer's burnt face looked pretty cool.
It was pretty decent, yeah.
That was actually pretty solid special effects.
Yeah, it wasn't full-on Freddy Krueger, but it was definitely messed up. It was cool.
Medium rare.
Yeah, well, and that's what's kind of cool, too, because he got a burn, but he didn't, it wasn't like he was burned like Freddy Krueger. He was in the burning house, probably got burnt a little bit, escaped, or arrested, but
He woke up on fire and ran outside.
Yeah, exactly. So that was good, I felt, that's for sure. I liked the owner of the gas station. He wasn't in the film.
He was the only other guy who didn't die because he disappeared for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I was glad he didn't return to get killed because I was worried he was coming back.
I was expecting him to at some point.
Well, I was a little confused because, first of all, he said he was going to train her in when she came back, and that didn't happen. So that confused me a little bit. I think it's weird that he didn't show up in the morning because he's the guy that was supposed to do that, right? Or was it Bobby?
Yeah, that's That's a good question. Was it Bobby? I don't know. But you would think he would have called in if you or yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know, Eric. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had all sorts of issues with the ending of that movie. It didn't ruin my enjoyment of the movie. I still enjoyed it quite a bit. But I think like they should have just like cut to credits after he says, "I love you." And she's got 911 on the phone. That's where you end the movie.
Yeah, just kind of leave what happens next up in the air or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, because it always feels like, I don't know, the way it was filmed towards the end, feels like they kind of maybe changed something, because, I don't know, the way it was just like, it leaves way too many questions of how she just suddenly ends up in another job. After whole massacre. Thing is,
if this wasn't an indie film, I would call studio interference, because I'm sure a studio would go, well, you gotta have an ending that leaves it open for a sequel. I can totally see a studio exec forcing that through. But the fact that this is an indie film, I don't really have that same feeling. So I don't know why it was that way.
Maybe they changed it their own and thought that maybe it would have been more, you know, artsy or a little bit more. Ooh, what's happened? Kind of thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. If it was like Eric said, then yeah, our producer or the money man would have been the person to change it. But you do have a fair point, Abe, which is the director / screenwriter, because it's the same person, may have been doing the film and then he decided to change it himself, or he showed it to a couple of people and they said, well, why don't you do this instead? And he changed it. It would be curious to see if there is alternate endings, because even little films like these, you know, like Honeymoon Phase, for example, had alternate endings, right? So this film could probably have some, if there is a disc or something that comes out, maybe we'll be able to know that. I don't know. That's a good question there. So, but I could see that. I could see that maybe they had a different ending. You know, film two or three endings and then decided to use this one or something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Anything else that we want to bring up?
I'm good.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. So before we get into our final thoughts and all that stuff, I guess we can talk about maybe things that we've seen or watched. Yeah, for me, I just restarted Far Cry 5 again, so doing that, and I began watching the TV show on HBO. The debut episode came out this past Sunday, entitled, I watched it right before this movie, actually, on October 25th, The Undoing, which is a Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant film by the same guy, David Kelly, that did Pretty Little Liars, among dozens of other films. I mean, I think he was the showrunner of Ally McBeal, and
that's where I know the name. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's like one of the biggest TV producers out there. He makes Benioff and Weiss and the guy that did Hannibal and Fuller and all those people. Like, they're big, but this guy's like even bigger than them, because he's had like 7 or 8 huge shows. But either way, I just watched the first episode of that. It was really, really good. Fortunately, you know, I was forced to watch the trailer because my wife needed to watch it. It doesn't tell you enough. It makes it very interesting, though. And the first episode, you don't really get enough. So I think it's going to be a slow. Clues are going to pop up. It's basically a mystery of someone that gets murdered, Nicole Kidman's character and her husband's character may or may not be involved, and we're going to be figuring out what's going on. So I would recommend that. I think that's pretty much all I've been watching that is genre related. Yeah, that's it for me. What about you, Abe?
There hasn't been much new, honestly. I've just been busy with work. Although I had tomorrow, and actually tonight, there will be a release for a horror game called Visage, which has been
What's it called? Walked,
visage. Like a visage of death.
How do you spell that?
V-I-S-A-G-E. Visage.
Oh, okay.
You know that word, Phil?
Yeah, no, I know it, but I've never heard it spoken. I've seen it written down.
Oh,
it was
okay.
like hyperbole. I've seen it written
hyperbole.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so, basically, it's a supernatural horror game where you play this fella trapped in a house that has seen horrible things, and these twisted spirits try to torment you, and you have to survive. And it is going to be released tonight. Tomorrow, officially, on the PC, and then on Saturday for consoles. It's gotten pretty good reviews. It honestly, for a while, people thought it wasn't going to be finished because they had announced a release in September, and then they went kind of dark for a while, not really communicating with the backers because this was a Kickstarter project, and they thought, you know, it was just going to flow in limbo, but thankfully it has been completed. It's ready for release, and that's what I'm going to be trying out and getting back to everybody and see if it's worth a buy because I'm excited for it, but you know, I'm going to be cautious about my enthusiasm as with any products.
Sure, sure. Yeah, to be honest, when I read this word, I always pronounce it in my head, visage, so that's why I was confused.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So this is a, I'm trying to look to see if on Amazon to see if it's there's a pre-order.
Oh, no. No, you could pre-order on PC, but they made it clear that they couldn't enable pre-orders for the consoles. It will pop up on the PlayStation stores and others online stores for the consoles on Saturday.
Right. I wonder how much they're going to be selling it for. Because let me see here. I can't find the pre-sale for the PC for some reason. So I'd be curious to see how much.
That'd be on Steam.
Only Steam. Okay. Yeah. So I wonder if it's going to be like a big expensive one, or is it one of lesser expensive?
I think it's going to be like $35.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. Yeah.
No, and it offers like 15 hours of content. So
that's solid.
So it's a reasonable price. It's not like, you know, $60 for 3 hours or some shit.
Right, right. That's interesting. All right. So, and it's looks like it's been getting some good reviews from folks that have had early access. So, yeah, that'll be kind of interesting. I'll have to look out for it on what time on Saturday for the consoles?
It probably be, you know, like how it is usually, like I think like after midnight it'll be put up on the stores. So I'd say like midnight on Friday it'll be available in the stores, and then tonight it'll be for PC. By midnight, it'll be available for full release.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. Yeah, for folks who are curious, Steam is basically like missed. Steam.com is the big video game that sells video games. So, yeah. All right. Sounds good. Anything else, Abe?
Nope.
All right. What about you, Eric?
Well, last week I was talking about how I just watched Paranormal Activity 1 and 2. So I continued with the series, watching Paranormal Activity 3. Not nearly as good as the first two.
I like that one.
I mean, it's not horrible.
Really? I like that one. I like that.
To me, there's a significant drop-off after 2. That's just my opinion. Here's the thing. I was texting to Phil about this. Apple was doing some weird shit with their pricing this week. Because they are offering bundles, and since it's Halloween season, they're offering a bunch of horror movie bundles. And what I looked like on Tuesday, they had all 6 Paranormal Activity movies for like $44.99. And I was like, oh, that's a decent price, but I already own 3 of them on disc. Do I really want to double dip on 3 of these when I already own them on disc? So I was thinking about that. And I went back the next day, and the very next day, the same bottle was priced at $74.94 for those same six movies. And I'm like, what the F? That's not, no. No, I'm not paying that. F you, I'm not doing it.
That's nuts.
So I decided I wasn't going to buy that. And then on, I think it was Friday. No, was it last Friday? I don't remember. But someday I went back and looked at the bundles again. And now they had the same six movies for $19.99. And I was like, screw it. I'm just going to do it now before it changes again. So for some reason, three different prices on the same bundle throughout the week. But I got it for $20 for all six movies, which is a pretty good deal. But I haven't watched any of the other ones since then.
How many films are there again? Six or five?
Six. There's six.
Yeah, so that's a great deal. $2.50 per film. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Then I watched the only other genre thing I watched is I watched Halloween. The 78 version on my 4K disc. And man, did they did a great job on this disc. I think it's actually the same material. They did a restoration for the 35th anniversary Blu-ray, and I think they just like upscaled that to 4K, but man, does it look great. So if you have a 4K TV, I would recommend that's one to purchase on disc, because it's a classic. And there's a reason it's a classic. So that's what I've been watching.
Is that you said the 4K disc?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I got that too, because it comes with the Blu-ray, and it was like the same price as buying the Blu-ray.
Right.
So I bought that. They're replacing the DVDs now with 4K and Blu-rays instead of Blu-rays and DVDs.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So I got it. I haven't watched it yet on the new. I only can watch it on the Blu-ray because I don't have the 4K. But I haven't opened it yet. But this is the time of year to do it. That's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good.
I'm probably gonna crack open the 2018 one tomorrow.
Yeah, I got that one in the same thing, the 4K package too.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't opened that one up either. But yeah, I should probably do that. I got two more days of Halloween before Halloween to do it. So yeah, last year I was really good. I watched trying to do the 31 days, and I got 15 in, and they were all films I had never seen because I didn't wanna. I just chose last year not to watch the same films over and over that I've seen, even though they're great.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year I did the first 3 days, and then after that I completely failed. I just didn't have time, so I saw like three or four films, and not including the ones we do for the podcast.
I've never done the 31 days of Halloween thing because it's just too much, but I do enjoy myself some Halloween movies in October, especially now. I was like, it's so funny because like people think I'm nuts because I get so happy this time of the year when it starts getting dark outside earlier so I can watch a horror movie in the dark before I go to bed. And people are like, what's your problem? What's wrong with you? I like the sun. Why don't you like the sun? I'm like, the sun is not my friend. It's trying to kill me. but yeah, it's this time of year. It gets dark enough early enough for me to enjoy more horror movies. Nothing that puts a damper on a horror movie like having the sun streaming through the window. It's like, get that hope happiness shit out of my face.
Yeah, and that's fair.
There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need therapy. Stop looking at me like that.
Hey! Some of our co-host friends on the Dark Discussions Network, like Lacey Liu, have watched over 400. Your horror films this year, and I don't know how
Jesus,
they can do it.
I don't either. That's too
that's
much.
That's insane.
Like, I don't understand how you do that and remain gainfully employed. Because that's just a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because that's more than a horror
that's
film
more
a
than,
day.
That's more than one a day. Yeah, how do you do that?
And that's not including regular hobbies, other films that aren't horror films, and then you still got 2 months left. So you figure that's going to be another 100 on top of that. That's incredible. Well done. Right. They don't know how they can do it. Yeah, I can't do it.
I think Brandon on Exploding Heads watched over 1,000 movies last year. Like, he made it his goal to do that.
Young?
Orlick.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he watched over 1,000 movies last year. I just don't know how you do that. That's 3 a day. That's crazy.
3 a day. Yeah, seriously.
That's a commitment right there.
Yeah, because all right, let's say you just have a regular job, 9 to 5, where you don't have to work overtime or anything like that, and you get home at 5. If you watch 3 films, that's anywhere between 4.5 to 6 hours, meaning you're not going to be finished watching films.
He has mentioned that he does watch sometimes on like 1.5 speed, so that's probably how he pulls it off.
Oh, okay.
Because I think YouTube and maybe Netflix does it now too, and I think the PlayStation will allow you to do that with discs. So yeah, there's some cheating involved, but still, that's a lot of movie.
Yeah, that sure is. That is a lot of movies. Yeah, I don't think I can do it. I used to be able to watch movies, a lot more movies, but then. Recently, yeah, I may only watch 1 or 2 a week now. But usually 1 or 2 a week, I should say. Yeah, I'm doing 1 a week anyway for the podcast, and I'm lucky if I can get 1 more.
Remember when we first started this, Phil, and like we would pick a movie, and I would watch the movie twice and take like a few pages of notes, and we would go through them, and just you and I would spend like 2-3 hours picking apart a movie. Ain't nobody got time for that anymore.
I mean, I used to go into the movie theater with a notepad. You know, if we did ones that were, and then I were at my notes there. And then when I put together the episodes, edited it, I actually used to edit clips into the episodes.
I remember that. I used to love that if I looked through it back. But nobody got time for that anymore.
Right, exactly. You know, that was one of the cool things about the early podcast, for sure. But yeah, it's like eventually it was like just too much work to do, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
But yeah.
At least for free.
No time to do it. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Somebody wants to start throwing 50 bucks an hour your way, maybe you'll be more inclined.
Exactly. I think I stopped doing it, and then like 100 episodes later, I did it once more because it was Taxi Driver, and I knew exactly where all the quotes were because I know that movie like the back of my head. So that one said, okay, I can do that one. That's not a problem. I know all the quotes. So, yeah, but only a handful of films I can do that with without actually having to really spend an effort figuring it out. So, all right. So that was pretty much it there. So I guess we can get into our final thoughts on the film. But before we do, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can get it wherever you got this one.
Excellent. Very good. Once again, you can find a bunch of different podcasts on the Dark Discussions Network of podcasts. If you just want a mix and match of everything, search for Dark Discussions Network of podcasts on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, or I should say Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. And that will give everything, including the Dark Discussions podcast, but also all the other 20 or so podcasts on network, or just search for Dark Discussions podcast and you can get all the episodes of this podcast alone. So let's get into our final thoughts of the film. So Abe, why don't you start?
Final thoughts. Overall, I thought this film was pretty decent. I think everyone in the cast did pretty good with their roles. There were some pretty awesome kills, especially with the antlers. I thought the psychological aspect of our main character was one of the film's strongest points, and I did think there was a few strong moments where I think if they had went certain direction with the storyline, it might have actually made for a more memorable film. That being said, I don't think you'll have a terrible time if you watch this film. You won't find too much new, but you won't really find anything that's awful. Yeah, it's worth a watch. I say check this out, and if you want, as we said earlier, if you want to do a double feature of a gas station horror film, check out Splinter, and if you want a little comedy, Clerks. So, yeah, those are my thoughts, and overall, not a bad film.
All right, very good. Yeah, for me, it was solid enough. I had more issues with the film than other folks here. I already explained what they were, so I won't go over them again. I will mention something that I forgot to mention is that the whole atmosphere of the film was pretty solid too, because they had excellent coloring and lighting for like the bathroom scenes and the locker room scenes, and then they did a lot of filming in the rain too, or quote unquote fake rain with a rain making machine, but either way it was really well done. But I still would say a VOD, not a VOD rental, but wait for like free on Netflix or Shudder or wherever you watch your films, because I, at least for me. But if you like, you know, your great kills and final girl films, then it's probably definitely worth renting, because it has everything that these type of films have, except they use us hammers instead of knives that Eric quite correctly me with. Yes. Yes. So there's thuds instead of slashes.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. All right, Eric.
I like this movie. It's not perfect, but it's far from horrible. I would actually recommend renting it to support the people that made this movie, because I'd like to see them make more movies, and that doesn't happen unless you make money making movies. So I would say check it out if you're into unreliable narrator stalker movies, because this is a decent one. I agree with everything Phil said about the atmosphere. It's pretty great. All the acting's good. We went over some nitpicks on the film. But I think that the positive aspects of this movie far outweigh the negative aspects of this movie, and I give it a recommend.
All right, very well. So once again, this is a 2020 film called Open 24 Hours. Did the festival circuits for a good 2 years before it finally got a release by, I think, Circle 4. So some company, I forget the name of the company, but it's one of the smaller companies like Magnet or whatever the other ones are. But it's a fairly well-known releasing company. The movie is about an hour and 42 minutes. I was able to find it on the cheapest on one of the platforms for $2.99, but you can find it on pretty much any platform. And you can actually buy it, depending on which platform, for like $6 too. So search around and you can determine how to find it. But it's pretty much anywhere VOD rentals are available. Eric, you going to say something?
No.
No? Okay, well, I'm going to ask you to say something, so why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about Open 24 Hours. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.
So many raindrops, it feels like raindrops falling from my eyes, falling from my eyes. Since my love has left me, I'm so all alone. I would bring her back to me, but I don't know where she's gone. I don't know where she's gone. There must be a cloud in my head. Rain keeps falling from my eye. Oh no, it can't be teardrops, for a man ain't supposed to cry. So it must be. from my eyes, falling from my eyes. Teardrops for a man ain't supposed to cry. So it must be raindrops, so many raindrops. It feels like raindrops falling from my eyes.